The following is a recap of WordCamp Seattle 2018 with Rhonda Nagard of Fat Dog Creatives and Kim Thornton of The Business of You.
Ourselves through automation with Jocelyn Mozak,
another rock star.
Yeah, what a great tie-in from mine, though. And we totally didn't plan this, I promise. But hers took mine and went yet another step further.
I mean, they played very well. They were very complimentary to each other in that she then, her presentation showed some of the how to tag, how to, some of the automations. Yes, a lot of similar resources.
She actually diagrammed her workflow, which was really nice.
And that was a great example, especially from Cronda's to what Devina talked about to what you're talking about. So then she said, I'm going to walk you through my client sequence.
Right. Yeah. And that was, you know, that was really helpful for me too. And it's making me think, okay, I'm going to reevaluate my own process just from looking at hers.
Right. And she phrased it the life cycle experience of a project. Like, oh,
but that also tells you life cycle. There's an end. Anything that's alive will die, right?
Yep.
But of course, that doesn't mean that your client dies or that your the death or relationship is the project. And she's got her everything stored and organized by client, and then each client multiple projects. So she's got multiple folders under each client for each new project that comes on. So there's a new life cycle every time they work together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, and again, she mentioned using proposals and active campaigns, and the tagging seemed to be probably one of the features that's going to be important. And if you don't know what to tag it, I would say look at her slides, and just start with what she's got on a project, see how that fits, and if it fits, great, keep doing it, and then tweak what you need to make it feel like it's your own.
And here's the funny thing. So we've got all these projects that are sessions that we were talking about that nicely fed into the others. I would say that Jocelyn's is both a good starting point and a good end point.
Yes.
Because if you don't know your process, you can look at hers and do just like I did with those swipe files and say, oh, that's her process.
Right.
Is mine like hers? And then, of course, so you've got a process outlined, but then you go back through all these other presentations to see what kind of items do I need within these steps of the process. And then you go back to Jocelyn's at the end, and then you tie them all together with all these automation tools that she's got.
Yes. And with her reference to forms, asking what is essential. There's so many things like, yeah, there's the nicey nice things to ask, but what is essential? What absolutely do you need to know to move that mission forward? Some of the stuff that we add, it seems like we're building up to it to get the client to know. And sometimes they do need some kind of appetizer questions to get them to unearth like the big why of the project. Sometimes they don't know, especially if you're not dealing with the full decision maker and you're dealing with an organization or a staff or a board. But they need to get really clear. And when you're working with a board, sometimes as the designer on the back end, oh my God, it's like popcorn. Everyone has their own flavor. And then you got to try to navigate it into a flavor that makes sense for everyone.
Well, but not just that, then there's usually one decision maker,
right?
You know? So everybody's got their own department head and they all think they're the most important. And then you've got the decision maker and nobody's agreeing, but your client is the decision maker.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't please everybody. So then you get into this frustrated, I don't know, you just get stuck, I guess, in quicksand.
Well, you get stuck and they're stuck and you just got to keep moving it forward.
Right. So if you've got it outlined, you know what needs to happen next so you can move it forward.
And speaking of what needs to happen next, I appreciated her noting task urgency.
Mm-hmm.
What
is
the turnaround time for some of this stuff? Oh my God. For 10 days.
I was so excited when she said that I didn't even write it down. I was just like, oh, because my brain was, I was just being reminded of all those meetings again, where every department head is sitting at the table and theirs is most important, not just most important, but theirs needs to be done first because it's so urgent. But it's funny how when you ask, is this an emergency? How urgent is this? And knowing that there's a fee attached to urgency, that was what I love. Knowing that there's a fee attached to that urgency, suddenly people realize, oh, it's not an emergency after all. It can wait.
Right. She had, standard is 3 to 5 days. Uh-huh. Pressing was 2 days. Uh-huh. And yeah, there's a rate attached. When you're like,
love that.
If you're code red, if you're 911, 411, whatever your 11 is. And the other thing that she made mention of, and I've never thought of it this way, but I'm fascinated how I can incorporate this type of tagging, is ticketing.
Yeah.
Ticketing versus general email inbox. Oh my God. I just want to, I want to grab that bull and write it. I'm like, oh my God, an open ticket, a closed ticket. This makes so much sense in my mind. Oh
yeah.
And I want to explore it and ride that pony.
And I don't have a ticketing system in place. So guess what I'm going to be looking for?
Yeah. End of year.
So that's going to be end of year 2019 goal, is to get all these emails wrangled, partly by a ticketing system.
And then, with ticketing and rates and, you know, the urgency, setting budgets and the expectation. And you can, again, kind of just set out prompts to get a sense of what's going to resonate with that client. Is this, you know, a minimum? Is this a website build? Or is this a crazy budget?
Yeah, right.
And why not put it out there? And obviously, you zhuzh it, you gear it to what you want as far as the type of projects to be working with.
Mm-hmm.
And the type of client you want to work with.
Right. And then another thing that I loved was after the end of a project. So if I use website design, she mapped out how you can have continued touches with your client throughout the year, especially if you're not on a maintenance plan. So I've got...
you're going to be on a maintenance plan.
No, I mean, if somebody doesn't sign up for a maintenance plan with me, maybe they've got a staff to do it. Then there are ways for me to remain in contact with them. And again, I can automate this stuff too, which is so cool. With Zapier, she had it automated. You know, like you could wait 3 months to, hey, can't believe it's been 3 months. And then make a request for a referral, and maybe 6 months out celebrating the half year. And then, you know, at the 1 year mark, celebrating the anniversary. Those are really good touches. It keeps it personal.
It does. And those canned emails do not need to be impersonal. You obviously customize them, but you can have, again, if you know that this is a consistent thing you always do, you don't have to always recreate the wheel.
Right. You take your templates and then you put them in your email, and then you can schedule the email. And then that way you're not even having to use Zapier. Yeah. Zapier would save you time, but let's face it, all these tools that cost money, they add up. And so for some time, until you, one, figure out your process, two, get all of your templates ready, mm-hmm. and three, get the money, right? Get clients to have the money. You're going to have to be doing this stuff by yourself or on your own, or you should be. Otherwise, it's money out the door, because like me, getting a CRM before I even knew what I needed in it, I did waste some time. Now, I don't regret the one that I chose, but I did waste some time. And I'm trying to figure out, how can I undo some of the things that I did wrong in the beginning without completely deleting stuff that's associated with those clients during that time?
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that she mentioned, I've got two comments that she made, or statements that I held and was like, oh yeah. about mindset, and that it's not always going to be a person. But sometimes it's going to be a tool that can save you with the automation, and also vice versa. But just having that open mindset, is this a person or is this a tool? And I think even you had mentioned in your presentation, this is not just for business.
Right.
You've got a life, you have a home, you might have family, like you could have three different kinds of calendars. And So these are things that, let's make the automation work for us, not, let's not have it be working us.
And let me make another aside here. On that same note of applying all this stuff to our personal life can work too. Guess what I did last night? I sent my three best friends from high school a Facebook message, and I said, hey, I haven't seen you guys. They're all in Texas, and they're spread out in Texas. I said, I want to get together of sorts. And so I said, let's Zoom. So we all have crazy schedules. And of course, theirs is crazier than mine because they have kids. But yeah, so we're starting the Zoom planning. So even if some of them can't be, you know, they don't have the bandwidth maybe for a virtual, you know, face-to-face.
At least they can, smartphone.
At least they can hear.
They got a Zoom mobile app.
Yeah, but again, you know, small town.
They have Wi-Fi?
No, I know. You don't understand. So anyway, they can still hear, yeah. But then some of them can do the, we'll have the bandwidth to do the face-to-face virtual. So we'll get to see a couple of us maybe, and then a couple will be dialing in.
Oh, that'll be good.
Yeah. So that's how you can take some of these tools that you're using for business and use them in your personal life.
Because, well, and as far as with what, I mean, the business of you is work, life, and all the stuff in between.
Right.
So you're, who you are, like as a human, is still a business.
Right.
Right. You think about all these celebrities and whatnot, like how they take care of themselves. Quarterbacks and, you know, centers for basketball. Everything they do, what they eat, what they drink is part of the business of them. So you are your number one commodity.
Mm-hmm.
You are your number one tool. You are your star player. So if we thought about ourselves like that, I think we might make some different choices as far as how we approached certain things.
Yeah.
Actually, I know we would. I didn't want to be so, but I guess I will. I'm going to take Robert's paddle. I'm just going to paddle that kayak. Two things that Jocelyn had also said is know your flow. That is a big tool. Just knowing your flow is a tool in and of yourself.
Yeah.
And the big thing that I just love, and I just really enjoyed this because as a recovering perfectionist, work in progress, she says, I'm a work in progress, and this is the polish that I have to date.
Yeah. As soon as she said that, I was like, oh, I know that is so resonating with Kim. I know she's just soaking that up right now.
Oh my gosh. And I mean, you know, you have to, there has to be that stopping point. And like you said, when clients come back and can we add and tweak, and it's already been the end of the lifestyle, and that's part of the maintenance. That's part of like the next things that we'll be talking about in the future.
Yeah. And we're going to be talking about a little bit of that in the next session, but I have a couple more things, nuggets from Jocelyn too.
Are you Jocelyn on? Let's go.
Okay. Well, I love that in her project request form, she asked, how did you hear about us? Because I've been trying to remember to do that, but if I just put it in my form, I can collect that information right there, you know, and I can make it a required field. So you can't get your form submitted without completing it in some way. And then she also asked, are you the decision maker? That's key because often we'll get called from somebody who's just shopping or feeling us out, whatever you want to call that.
The secretary.
Yeah, yeah. They're not the decision maker. So you've got to get in front of the decision maker.
Right. Because you're pouring all this love and time. You're like, you're taking this call seriously. And they are, but in a very different way.
Yeah. And then you've got to just ask the question, what's your budget? Because that's one way to decide, hey, we're not a good fit. If they don't have the budget to work with me, then we're just not a good fit, you know?
Or that leads actually to the next talk that we had with Gail.
That's true. That's true. So onward to the next session.
And this was the last session of day two, which is the trip to incremental web design by Gail Williams.
Yeah. And again, this is back to Devin's presentation talking about iterative design process.
Yeah.
This is iterative website design. And basically it's a web package that Gail has created so that for those who can't pay that full amount up front, you know, it's easier to digest taking smaller bites.
Right.
So they pay a monthly fee to her. And she's got them on a 6-month plan. I just recently actually did a series package like this too, but mine are on 12-month plans. It's really catching on, and this isn't a new concept. Gail admitted, hey, it's not a new concept, but it's something that's really taking on in her environment, particularly because she's in a smaller community. It's not tiny. I wouldn't even say it's small, but it's smaller than Seattle, Miami, LA, that kind of thing. And she's in a BNI group. And so she's dealing with a lot of small businesses. Now, not all small businesses have small budgets, but a lot of the ones that she's been encountering do. And it's easier for them to afford a website if it's monthly.
Right. Well, and it just allowed, she found a need and was able to accommodate that. I mean, that's great responsiveness.
Yeah. And here's the beauty of it, though, which I hadn't even considered, is that it's not just that their payments are coming out monthly.
It's not a layaway plan.
Yeah.
You didn't do all the work up front and then you're getting paid on the back end.
They've identified what needs to happen first. And then the second month, they have another strategy call and talk about more ways to improve it. So it really is incremental design. And I think that's brilliant.
Well, you're not investing 10 hours in it. Like you decide. And so the first month is the biggest investment because that's when maybe the basic framework, the meat of it is being done. And whether or not it's published is dependent on the scope of the project.
Right.
But then over the course of time, the other bits are rolled out and you decide when the publish date is and all those other components start to fill in the blanks. You basically, just like your workflow, what are the milestones? What's the most important thing that needs to happen at what time and when does it need to be delivered?
Mm-hmm. And again, it's iterative and it's over the 6 months. Now, somebody did ask, and it was one of my questions too, what if somebody in that strategy session that she has at the beginning of the month or whenever it happens, what if what they're wanting is a big project, you know, and they're trying to shoehorn that in? She said, well, and I just tell them, look, that's going to take more time than this phase one or whatever phase they're in will allow. Let's put that in phase two and we can start that at month seven or whenever they can start it again. So I thought that was a nice way to handle that.
And if the client wants to move up that monthly ladder, then their budget, their payments would reflect that.
Yeah.
The other component is, well, what if they don't pay? Then the site gets turned off.
Yeah.
She maintains the hosting. And so that's probably got to be one of the lifebloods that feeds this, the value of this type of program.
Yeah, basically a kill switch, which is, you know, that was one of the first things I thought of when I was designing these plans. I was like, okay, if I'm going to be doing a lot of this work up front and they're going to be on a monthly payment plan, that means I'm not going to get fully reimbursed for a while. And so, yeah, I need to be the one hosting it then, and which means, hey, you miss a payment, you're more than 10 days late, that site's dead. Yeah, and that's not on me. We agreed. We made a contract, right?
And she made another comment. Again, open tickets. I'm like, oh, universe, knocking on my door. Open tickets for her are projects that are not complete. They're not moving forward. So again, having some sort of tracking, tagging, ticketing system. You know, obviously at first you assimilate this, like you're going to know all that. But as you grow, yeah, you might get like, oh, I've got some diversification. Like, oh, I've got this project. So again, with whatever kind of scheduling you have, having some sort of tag or ticketing system will help you know where you can light a little fire.
It's also something that we didn't discuss, but that was coming through to me during this presentation was, you know, we talked about clients not always knowing what content means. You know, when you are doing something like this and it's iterative and it's monthly and you're talking monthly, you know, they might not in the beginning know what content is, but as the relationship and the project moves forward, that client's knowledge is maturing, right? So they're getting more educated and understanding, oh, that's what I need. That's what she meant by a hook. That's what she meant by a call to action. You know, so eventually, even though you might be in the phase one, just redesigning based on current content, phase two could be focused solely on content, right? So yeah, I'd still be redesigning because if they're focusing solely on content with my copywriter, then that means that the structure is going to change. So it can continue to be iterative or incremental, as she says.
Right. Well, and with a payment plan, which is what this is, but it's kind of not. If you scale it properly, you're getting paid as you go. So what this does, though, is it does reduce that feast or famine, and it provides an opportunity for consistent income.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that it leads itself beautifully, that they're used to paying you. So going to a maintenance program just seems like the most natural next.
She said that. Yeah. And I thought, oh, that's brilliant. Plus, when they first come to you and you're starting on this web design project with them, if you're one and done, you're gone. But she's having monthly strategy meetings with them, which means she's building on that relationship each month. So she's getting paid, building the relationship, so it's going to be easy peasy to move to the next phase or to add on that maintenance plan.
Absolutely. And being able to curate, maintain, nurture that relationship, but also then their website. So the other thing is the quality of the site has a higher likelihood of having better standard.
Yes,
better SEO, less hacked, better security, new things that are coming on, like they're going to value and appreciate in this next month's strategy session. Oh, hey, there's a new widget, new plugin that would be of value. Let's A/B split test it on your site and see if that gets more traction. Like, who wouldn't want that creative genius being, shining down on you? That's what you pay for.
Right. And she pointed out, used to businesses would go 5 years between redesigning their site or getting them up to snuff, right, to whatever the current standards are. As we know, technology changes far more quickly than every 5 years. Cell phones every 18 months. But you know what? Instead of having to, after 18 months, go get a new site or redesign your site, you're constantly
up to date
because you're on this plan. So you're never behind. Google sees that you are up to date and you're staying current.
You're fresh. That's great. You're active. Right?
Your visitors see that your content is being updated and that you are current. It's nothing but good, right?
Right. Well, and if you put this big investment, right? You spend $5,000 every 5 years on a website. It feels like you're shoving out $5,000 to have a new baby. Because you got to throw it all away every time. Well, that's if you leave it in the corner and don't dust it off, it's going to get old and moldy and stale.
Yeah.
As it should. if we think about websites like a car or, something else like that, a car, if you let it sit, sounds like a great idea, right? Keep OEM, it's not like a doll in a box. A car, it has seals. And if they're not lubricated by the operation of the machine, the seals get dry, they crack, and then things go wrong. So cars need to be driven. Crystal, good crystal needs to be touched. The oils from our fingers help that. The crystal gets dry and brittle if it's not used. So how many people have ever, I don't know how many, but I've had the experience of having, grandparents' crystal. We touched it and it shattered in our hands because
oh my gosh,
it was a precious treasure and you only took it out for special occasions. But if you wait too long, there will never be that special occasion because it'll just be pieces.
Yeah.
So your website needs that. It needs
love and
that,
care, it nurturing.
Needs,
yeah.
It needs that influx all the time. So it's not just to crash and build every time, every time.
Right.
And people feel more comfortable and more confident in having something that's up to date that doesn't have to be reinvented all the time. Because you've tweaked it along the way, you feel fresh and relevant.
Right. Right. So that was the last session.